Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts chapter 4, verse 29 is where we'll begin. We've started a new series, and I've entitled it, He Sent Him. That comes from John 14. And verse 16, and it says, I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you will know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He will not leave you as orphans. Wow. It's quite a thing to learn, and I'm still learning. You never want to stop learning. It's quite a thing to learn to pastor in the midst of revival, which is something I work on. Sunday morning, as many of you know, we preach expository messages with a thematic approach, and we are in the midst of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, by which you will find a foundation for all theology. So if you don't know the first 11 chapters, the truths found there, then you'll be handicapped and hamstringed to understand the depths of the Word of God, even in the New Testament. So it's important, and it's been powerful, and we're almost done. On the rest of the services Sunday night, and by the way, Dr. Debbie Rich will be preaching here on Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. And then 1 week from tonight, she'll be back Wednesday night. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your next door neighbor, bring people that know God, don't know God. Fill this place out. Pack this place out. It's going to be a tremendous service. Signs follow the preaching of the word, and signs follow her ministry. And if it wasn't for you, would just, you know, don't know, maybe my son wouldn't have been impacted the way he was. It was a powerful time. A powerful time. My son was suffering greatly. And I don't mean that, I don't say that lightly. He had an abscess tooth that they couldn't figure out how to heal. He had every single antibiotic there was and was one day away from oral surgery and would just lie on the couch and moan. And he couldn't come to the services, but we brought him. He was online watching on the phone, and then he came in and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They had no idea how to heal it without surgery. So the rest of that story is I had a dream that next night. I had a dream, and in the dream there was a little white dot that appeared on his cheek, and I popped it, and all the infection came out, and he got miraculously healed. So I woke up at 5 in the morning before morning prayer, and I looked, and there was no white dot on his face. He was on adult dosages of painkiller. It was so bad that I told him, son, stop saying, and just say, Jesus. Just say, Jesus, Jesus. Moan something else. Moan the name of Jesus. Well, I went back to sleep and got up an hour later, and there it was. I asked permission of Pastor Karen to touch her little boy. She gave me permission, and all the infection came out, and he was totally healed and never had to have surgery. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we're in this series on Wednesdays now on the Holy Spirit, and I've tried to give it a cute name simply because it seems that people listen to things that sort of sound better, but I really don't care, but I do try a little bit. He sent him. You don't like it? That's okay. Book of Acts chapter 4. Let's all stand up on our feet for the reading of God's word. And I need to be very sensitive to our time due to the fact that we have, 40 or 50 people back there watching your kids, probably 40 tonight, having kids' church. They have revival back there, and I want to be sensitive to not burn them out. Give me 20 minutes on the clock, please. 18 minutes. 18. That'll help me. I might not obey, but I would release you at 9 to get your children. It could be that we'll continue on. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, if you're all there, say a big amen. Amen. Acts 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled. They were what? Filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, what kind of power? With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had a need, who had need. Father, thank you. Move in great power in the moments that remain tonight. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Started this series a couple of weeks ago. He sent him, talked about Zechariah and that powerful text, Zechariah 8 and 23, where the Jews say, we've heard, people come to the Jews and say, we've heard that God's with you. And they take hold of a Jew and he brings him to a place where God was dwelling among them. Zechariah 8:23, this is what the Lord says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. How appropriate, given the message that you just shared, because that is what is happening. Do you know that folks don't even know we're open yet because of that blasted plastic that's out front still? But soon, in Jesus' name, it'll be gone. And we ought to just hang a big open sign because honestly, the community still thinks we're building it. I heard that again today, meeting with the fire department, and I appreciate them. The fire department is in place to save lives, and we have a couple hoops to jump through, and we will receive our full occupancy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A number of months ago, I was with Pastor Bruno Frigoli. He's our pastor over Chile, and we were in Missouri, and we were worshiping God in the car, and the fire and the power and a measure of the glory, I said a measure of the glory came down. And I was driving, we were laughing, we were crying, we weren't sure what was happening. We were trying to drive to my daughter Hannah's house, and we were gone. It was an unusual moment and an unusual unction, an unusual anointing. And as I'm driving, the Lord says, take a right. I just heard, take right. So I take a right, and we drive down this country road, and we get to this railroad crossing. There's no train, there's no cars, and we're in the middle of you know, some cornfields or sorghum or something. I forget what it was, but it was farmland. And the arms of the railroad crossing are going up and down, like just randomly going up and down. There's no train. There's nothing going on. It's me and our pastor from Chile standing out with the fire of the power of God and the lights going off and the thing dinging and it going up and down on its own. And I sat there and I asked Pastor Bruno, you're seeing this, right? He says, oh yeah. And we started taking pictures, and I have pictures I could show you. It's just unusual. It was a phenomenon. The power of the Spirit of God came on us, and it was like he shook us for a moment to let us know we're at a crossing. And it was about America. America's at a crossroads, America. Chile's at a crossroads too. And God just impressed upon us in the supernatural way that he does. And I understood that these really are unusual days that we live in. The prophet saw them afar off. You and I are living in them. The context of this is Jesus is crucified, of course, resurrected. He tells him to tarry, to wait in Jerusalem till it endued with power. Don't leave Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, you have heard me speak about. And so they go and they wait. In Acts chapter 2, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit after 10 days waiting, and the fullness of Pentecost comes and the mighty rushing wind, and they're baptized in the Spirit. And they start spreading the good news everywhere they go. But they get in trouble. They get persecuted for bringing healing to this crippled beggar. Peter speaks to the onlookers after silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they yank him to his feet and he's supernaturally healed. And he goes into the temple for the first time of his life, and thousands of people are born again because of the message. It's fascinating that Jesus walked past him for years. And the timing now is a release of God's power and thousands get saved. And they get in trouble. And you know, the religious police come, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they're persecuted. And they're eventually released. They're forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus, and they say, far be it for us to obey you rather than God. And you all know the text. Most of you have preached on it dozens of times. And they go back to their life group. They go back to their home group. They go back to a prayer meeting, which is kind of rare these days, not here, but across America it's rare, but it's becoming less and less rare. And I will say that there's no revival, there's no outpouring without a prayer meeting. And I don't mean just a personal one, I mean a corporate one. And for those of you that are listening and online, and a reminder, and for Dr. Debbie, this whole thing's built by prayer. It was so impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. And what God starts, he finishes, and the devil can't do a thing about it. But we had delays and challenges. And I've said it this way, I wouldn't wish the difficulties that we went through on anybody, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, because it just, man, it just gave us a thick neck. Come on, somebody. It put something on us that we just wouldn't have any other way. And you know, trials and difficulties, sometimes they come from the devil. Other times, you just have to, God's making you strong through, it's part of him working it for good. I mean, why would God send his people across the Jordan at flood stage? Because a whole generation had not seen the miracle power of God, because those guys were dead. So now these are their kids. And they had resentment towards God. That's why they get circumcised after they cross the other side. But when that parts, when the Jordan parts, people are like, oh snap. They haven't told me half the story. It's like they really realize God's with Joshua. God is God, and now I've got my own story. Thank God for the stories of the bygone years that have gone by. Thank God, but how many of you know we got some fresh stories? And if you're leaning on the old stories and you don't have any new ones, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Prayer. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. His presence came as in a response to prayer, and I'm writing your notes now. They prayed together. I am a firm believer in corporate prayer. Oh, individual prayer. They say the average pastor prays maybe 15 minutes a day. I love what Dr. Morocco said. His father taught him, if a minister of the gospel doesn't pray 2 hours a day, he's not worth a dime. I have it on the inside of every one of my Bibles. I write that. Individual prayer. There's no substitute for that. You can't delegate that. You have to do it. You pray, and not have to. So, I mean, like, if you don't want to, there's something wrong with you. We actually had somebody, Dr. Debbie, we had somebody come, and they were so freaked out when they walked in because of the joy. he walked in with his wife and his two children, and he came and he said, "What the?" And he just straight cursed, and they fell against the sound booth. And I happened to be right there. I said, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay." He said, "What's going on in here?" He was terrified. I said, "It's just a lot of happy people. We love God. It's okay." And we were pulling out extra seats. It was in our old building. And somebody pulled me aside and said, "You know, I can't go here. You're just all too happy." That's a God's honest truth. I wanted to repent, but then what do you say? Sorry? I'm not sorry. I just said, okay. They prayed together. Corporate prayer, individual prayer, two different things. Corporate prayer. We have it every morning. I've found this. I've found that churches that begin to pierce through the darkness and make a change in a region, if you don't have corporate prayer, it's not soon after that the core leadership gets wiped out, that something happens. If you don't have corporate prayer, you can forget it. If you're going to do anything for God that's going to really make it, individual prayer, yes, but corporate prayer, absolutely. And they prayed in one accord. I have lots of scriptures here, but it's different than, okay, so like right now, some of you are answering your text from your grandmother who's wishing you happy birthday, and you're not listening to anything I say. Of your attention. That's not the kind of prayer meeting they had. The kind of prayer meeting they had was a one accord. It's the Greek word, and I think we have it up on the screen for you. Transliterated. Come on, give me the Greek word. You can do it. Homothomadon is a transliteration. It's one accord. It's a violent unity. It's that which is hard to find in most churches. And I found that when a church really gets unified in worship, and worship's the highest form of prayer, I believe, when there's a real violent unity, you're not texting your auntie, you're not, where are we going to dinner? How long is it going to go? Man, that was a long offering to you. You're not thinking about that. You're really like focused on God. When that happens, the atmosphere shifts and heaven comes down. I've been in a handful of meetings where there's been a violent unity. They had that. They were dead if God didn't show up. It wasn't funny. It wasn't cute. They cried out for God. And God answered and shook the place. They believed in God's power. They believed in God's power. They prayed specifically for enablement. That's a great prayer. God, give me some of the stuff that you had on us before we raised that man for that. Give us more so we can be even more bold. Lord, enable us. Give us a supernatural enablement. That's what they prayed for. Verse 29, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And it's interesting, the speaking of God's word is directly related to miracles, signs, and wonders. The whole idea that you can just hear a good teaching and nothing happens is some Western bunk. Biblically, when the word is preached, there's always signs that follow. That is the way it is. Somebody said, well, you're one of those churches. Is there any other kind of real church? Actually, is there? All that Jesus began to both do and teach. He would teach, he would demonstrate. He would demonstrate, he would teach. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do the same thing. I had somebody say, hey, can we come and bring somebody to have the devil? I said, you can cast the devil out yourself. No, we want you. Okay, well, you know, come. I mean, we're going to be kind. Come. But I mean, learn. Learn to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Learn. Come on. Exercise your faith. Enablement. God, come on, raise a hand to heaven. Say, God, give me fresh enablement. Give me fresh enablement. That's right. That's what they asked for. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You said, well, Pastor, I thought they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they were, but they leaked. Sort of humorous, but they just needed the refilling. They were filled. Acts 2, they're filled. It's not a one-time thing that happened in 1979 at Lonnie Frisbee event in Southern California. You got filled with the Spirit. Some of you will get that. It's an ongoing filling. Yes, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was talking about it, my son getting baptized in the Spirit, praying in tongues. But he's been filled many, many other times. And there's a continual filling. You need a continual filling. You need a continual filling. They're already filled. Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 13. Paul filled with the Spirit. Paul was filled with the Spirit before that. Because there's a problem between the Spirit and the flesh. I said there's a problem between the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh, there's a problem. Galatians chapter 5 on the screen, if you would. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you don't do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Verse 19, if you're all there, say amen. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorceries, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. We just wiped out the whole church right there. Of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ, listen closely. Verse 24. Those who are Christ, those who belong to Jesus, those who have been born again have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means if you're born again and you live for Jesus, you made a decision to live for Christ, that means you don't practice. You don't practice that. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, don't practice it. We all need the help of God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need God's help to overcome hindrances. We need God's help to overcome hindrances. So many scriptures. So many. There were times in my life and in the history of this church, the past almost 17 years that we've been here, where the Holy Spirit would just come upon us sovereignly, visited by angels in the night. Would receive strength, would have dreams. There's no way in the natural, you can do what God's called you to do without the supernatural. He puts his super on your natural. Doesn't mean you act like a flake bag. Not sure what that is, flake bag. Pastor Vince gave me that term. You'll have to ask him. I think it comes from Cleveland, isn't that right? Flake bag. When God calls you to do something, and you have an obstacle, you have a challenge, you have a trial, you have a mountain, he will anoint you, give you faith to speak to the mountain to have it be moved. It is how it works. And when you level up, you need a new level of power. You need a new level of anointing. God's presence came to help them fulfill his plan, to be a bold witness. To be a what? A bold witness. Not a lame duck, sorrowful.
Hi, I'm just here from King's, and I just wanted to know if you can talk to you about Jesus.
Man, I got enough problems, man. That's nobody here, I'm sure. But I've had people witness to me that were in pain. Like, they had to be doing it for some other reason that it was, like, real to them.
It's like, I need to tell you about hell and heaven. And I'm like, you need prayer? A bold witness. God's presence came to help them fulfill his plan to be a bold witness. Luke 24 and 48, and you are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Witnesses, we're called to be a bold witness. I'm glad you're overcoming your fear and sharing your faith with people. Thank God for that. Thank God you're willing to perhaps even be embarrassed. You don't feel like, we don't witness when we have the anointing. We witness and there comes an anointing. It's very different. And we share our faith because of what he's done. I loved Pastor Mark. Cried numerous times through our luau. And he's like, in this next one. Means a lot to me. It's about the wedding supper of the Lamb. I mean, you can tell he's moved by the music and the worship and the truth of God's word. That's very different than just doing it out of an obligation. Christianity is not a set of rules. Yeah, there's he gives us his word. And he gives us instruction for sure. But you love God, so you obey his words. You don't obey his word so he can love you. He loves you. When you taste and see that he's good, you won't be able to help yourself. May you taste and see that he's good tonight. He gave them power to help others through signs and wonders in Luke 10 and 17. They come back. The 70 returned with joy. Luke 10 and 17. Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Literally, I believe, now he could be referring to Isaiah, could be referring to Ezekiel, but I believe that the power of God is put so on display in that region that the powers of darkness were defeated. I'm gonna tell you, there's powers and principalities that tried to stop us. You can't stop God. You just can't. And by the grace of God, he'll come upon you to help you to overcome and press through. There is demon power that wants you to stop, wants you to quit, that brings sickness and disease. Slap that thing with the name and the blood of Jesus and rise up in a God-given, blood-bought right and begin to flow in a new anointing. Come on, ask God for it. Ask God for fresh fire. Ask God for fresh power. Get hungry and thirsty. Behold, verse 19, Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Listen closely. Over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in your identity. Rejoice in that you're a new creation. Rejoice that God lives on the inside of you. Come on, deity inside of humanity. You are his house. The greater one lives on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just awaken to that and call on his name and position yourself, then power will be released in a new way. Why? Because there's a whole state, there's a whole nation that needs to see the power of God. The nations ask of me, and I will give you the nations. God is setting his church on fire again. And at the same time, the love of many is growing cold. They're ordaining homosexuals into the ministry. It's not of God. Listen, we love everybody, but that's not of God. The apostate church is upon us for sure. Apostate, apostasy is the word for someone who defects from the army. You're in the army of the living God. And you stay in his army by loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and obeying his word and living for God. And stay full of the Spirit. Don't let the enemy push you back or hold you back or stop you. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. The church has forgotten what we have. We got resurrection power. Keys, please. We got resurrection power working on the inside. Just the black keys. Tune me up, son. Come on. Power. The power of the Holy Ghost. He sent him. It's more than a theology, and it's more than just tongues. I'm going to see the church fulfill its purpose. You say, what is that? Lots of scripture. I'll put it simple. It's basically to take over the planet. One family at a time, one soul at a time, setting the captives free, delivering bondages, people out of bondage, and being filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give your life to Christ. Do it. Now, do it now, do it tonight. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, won't you do it now? Give your life to Jesus. He was crucified for your sin. He rose again from the grave for you. To as many as believed him, he gave them the right to become children of God. The criteria there is you believing in him. You believe in him, you become a child. You don't believe in him, you're not his child. Oh, you're made in his image, but you have to believe in him to become his child. That's how it is. Can't sign a little paper and go to church all your life. You can have baptismal waters dripping off your face and still split hell wide open. You must be born again. And it's not just that, it's that to make it to heaven, yes, but then God gives you the same power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Why? So that you could be a witness, so that you could fulfill. It's not just about making it to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. It's about being a witness. It's about being used by God. He sent him so he could send you. For this reason, he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he said, for this reason, I send you to do the same thing. Don't live beneath your God-given, blood-bought right and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have a lack of power, well, I don't see any miracles in my life. That's not God's fault. Get hungry. Get thirsty. Ask God. 903. Our children's workers are staring at their watches like, in the name of Jesus, rabakababa, help Pastor Ryan. You know, they're reaching their hands. I can feel it right now. They're reaching their hands out. Help him close. You want to give your heart to Jesus all across this place, those online in Point Hope, Colorado. He's the answer. Jesus is the answer to every human need. So, well, I don't understand that. You have a finite mind. You don't know, as bright and intelligent as we might be, we don't understand how planets don't crash into each other. Seriously, they're just figuring things out. You're made in his image. You're separated from God because of sin. Repent. Ask him to forgive you. Receive Jesus. All across this place, you say, that's me. Those online, lift your hand to heaven. Do it now. Get right with God. Do it. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stand up on your feet all across this place. Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. I repent of my sin. And I ask you to come into my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Heal me. Heal my mind. Come on, pray it right out loud. Heal my mind. Heal my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm coming to you the best way I know how. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.